slammer for Nolan Arenado.
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Not even close. If you're thinking Tom Ackerman is here, Tom is on vacation. I'm Mike Claiborne, and I am in a vacation environment here in Jupiter, Florida, where the Cardinals train for 2025. We have a ball game coming your way just a little later, just after 12. Well, we start our pregame ceremonies around 11:50. So it'll be you and me, along with a number of guests, until then. As I mentioned, we are in spring training here at Roger Dean Stadium. Cardinals are currently working on some defensive fielding drills and also some base running drills as we speak. We have a nice crowd. This will be their first home game. Yesterday, we were the visitors here, and the Miami Marlins were the home team. And I have to tell you, there were more Cardinal fans here than there were Marlin fans, but that's to be expected. The Cardinal fans are pretty smart about getting tickets. And they go on the Marlins site and buy their tickets, and therefore they get good seats. So today we should have a Cardinal crowd, as it is the home game. We'll see how things unfold as people are starting to fall into this area and get ready for the next 6 weeks of baseball as the Cardinals get ready for their 2025 season. A lot to talk about today, as we had a lot of people playing last night. The Cardinals, the Blues, St. Louis U, City, Mizzou, Illinois, Umsel, Webster University. I mean, everybody was playing last night. And some of them, well, didn't work out that well, but we'll talk about that a little later. Our guest today, we're going to visit with the big dog, Bernie Miklas. You hear him in the Gas House Gang here on KMOX. We'll have a chance to get his thoughts on a lot of things that are happening in sports and get his thoughts on what he is looking forward to seeing next. Josh Schertz, they won yesterday. St. Louis U won over Rhode Island. Tough matchup for St. Louis U. And St. Louis U has to really kind of win out in order to have a good seed for the conference tournament. And as you know, anytime you get into the tournament, anything can happen. We'll talk some hockey a little later. Blues started their season last night after the Four Nations tournament. We'll get into the Four Nations tournament, get your thoughts on what you think was good about it and what needs to be better. And I bring that up because everyone who's a hockey fan, their buttons are popping off their shirt because they're so happy with how things turned out. The TV numbers were exceptional. It was good-spirited play. Everything went well. And the first thing you hear people say is, all right, now here's what we have to do to fix it. Well, I don't think it's broken, to be honest with you. I thought they did it really well. And I thought one of the things that really stood out, I didn't hear one person griping about the officiating. And as you know, if you're a hockey fan, it's your birthright to be able to grouse about the officiating. But we didn't hear that. At least we didn't hear it on a large scale during the Four Nations event. So we'll talk about that, what's next for the Blues, as they have their work cut out for them if they want to get into postseason play. And we'll have that working for us. 11 o'clock hour, Lutz Vandensteel, they got off to an interesting start last night. St. Louis City, a home game, 32 degrees was game time kickoff. I don't know about you, and as I've gotten older, I'm kind of allergic to cold weather. And so I'm interested to see how soccer players, stay ready, especially the guys who are subbing. How do they stay loose? How do they stay ready when the weather can be a little bit of a distraction? So we'll have a chance to visit with Lutz about that. John Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations, will join us in his usual time, and we'll get his thoughts, early thoughts, on his ball club. And we'll finish out visiting with the Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith, who was here in spring training. And, you know, when you see the Wizard walking around, it's like royalty. He is so good, not just to the fans, but also to the younger players that he makes time for. One of the more amusing sights I saw, Thomas Ajayi, young man that people seem to feel like has a chance to be a big leaguer. And Ozzie was looking at his glove, and he said, well, how did you get your glove shaped like that? And so he said, well, I've always had it like that. So Ozzie said, well, have you ever looked at how, you know, the glove is an extension to your hand? And Ozzie was kind of showing him how to break it in differently. And you would have thought Sir JC was sitting on Santa Claus's lap because it was something he'd never heard about, never learned. And I guess when a gold glover is making a suggestion, that Ozzie didn't tell him this is what you have to do. But just the fact that you have a person of that nature taking the time just to help a young man be better on the next ground ball. And who knows where that takes him. So it's great to have him here. David Freese is here. And I really hope that the Cardinals get back to having more former players around because they want to help. They want to see the team do well. I mean, that's their team. But when it starts with Ozzie, and there's so many other ones that they could have involved, and hopefully that will be the case here in the next few spring trainings for sure. So we have that working for us with Ozzie. The Cardinals have game two against the Houston Astros yesterday. Pretty good game for about five innings. Let's put it this way. All the players that you expected or you were looking forward to seeing contribute to this team in 2025, they, for the most part, did their job. Now, the people who might be part of the 2027 team, well, they had a little bit of a rough afternoon. And as we've learned in spring training, these games can be really fun for about the first six or seven innings. But when you get the guys with 94 and 98 on their back and their ability to throw strikes is not as consistent, it can make for a long hour. I'm telling you, it can make for a very long hour. But we had that yesterday. Nothing to worry about. No one was hurt after the game. I'll give you the lineup here if you're interested. You can get started on your lineup as far as the Cardinals and the Astros. So Victor Scott gets a leadoff spot. He'll be in center field. Alec Burleson will be at first base with Nolan Gorman playing second base. Lucan Baker is the designated hitter. Pedro Pajes is the catcher. Thomas Sejesi, who we just talked about, will be playing third base. J.J. Weatherholt, the Cardinals' first-round pick from last year, he will be playing shortstop. And also Matt Kupierniak, who had a good throw from the outfield yesterday. This is a guy you might want to start paying a little bit more attention to, Matt Kupierniak. He'll be in left field. And we have a young man named Ryan Vlaid. He will be in right field. Miles Michaelis will be on the mound for the Redbirds. So that's how things will start. And I can assure you, this is not the same lineup you'll see in the eighth inning. That's just how it works. So what we'll do now is take our first break. We'll come back. We'll talk to the big dog himself. It's always a treat to visit with Bernie Miklas. I just don't talk to him enough, and I'm going to hog up all the time when we take this break on KMOX.
KMOX.
Well, we've changed up a few things. I'm not Tom Ackerman. I'm Mike Claiborne, and we've moved the studio to Jupiter, Florida, where we're at Roger Dean Stadium. And we're going to go to the guest line, and standing by is one of my favorite people. I don't see him enough, but I always think about him, and it's always great to have Bernie Miklas on KMOX. Bernie, good morning, sir.
Claves, what a pleasure it is to be able to talk to you, even if it's on the air, and you'll be seeing me around Busch Stadium more in 2025. I got to quit being a hermit, and one of the reasons is to come be able to make sure I say hello to you and Mr. Rooney and Mr. Horton.
Well, you know, you and I kind of like the last of the Mohegans around here, so we do need to spend some quality time together.
That's right.
You know, we and have to do that.
I miss out on spring training. You know, I haven't gone to spring training for a while. That's okay because I got so many other things I have to do. I couldn't really afford to be down there for long. But one of my just so everybody knows, one of my joys in life, and this applies every St. Louis media person who's had the good fortune to be invited to dinner by Mike Claiborne in spring training. You know, this must be the way it was like with Sinatra and those guys with like some of the best restaurants in town. You know, it's like, hey, Mr. Well, Claiborne. Yeah, right here. A party of four. No, I got six. Oh, OK, six. That's
don't
fine.
Worry whatever about you it. Need, yeah, we'll Mr. make him Claiborne. Get up. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny. I was taking somebody to dinner recently. This is 40. This is year 40 of spring training. Now, I've been in the business a little longer, but this is 40. And you start thinking about all the people. And you and I used to have some classic dinners. And it wasn't always about the games. It was about life and people and family and friends and everything else that goes on in the world. And I think that's one of the neat things about spring training that doesn't get enough credit for why we enjoy being here other than the weather and watching guys develop to get ready for the season.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm gonna throw you a compliment here. So people might be getting sick of me praising you, whatever. But you know, the one thing about you, you've always been this way with me, and you've been a tremendous help. Is when me being the hotshot columnist or the guy, you know, talking on the radio or whatever, you know, you have on many occasions said, you know, you need to rethink this. You know, you didn't do anything wrong, but you should rethink this. There's some stuff here and there and here and there. You always get me to check my conscience, and I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you saying it. Now, if I can get somebody to check mine, we'd be on the right path here. I'm the one that's off the rails these days. Hey, you know, this is an interesting time for us in sports, people who cover it, people who support these teams. You know, when you look at yesterday and everyone that was playing, and, you know, they all kind of mirror each other with regard to redevelopment, reloading, and trying to move to that next step where they can get back on a basis where the what we've been expecting and what we've always accepted as far as competition and winning. And I find it fascinating because in all the years, Bernie, I don't think we've ever seen this many teams, whether it's college or pro, going through the same process at the same time.
Yeah, and it's I think the shock in St. Louis is that number one, it's so personal because there's such a strong allegiance to the Cardinals. Even if people are upset about something and they're not going to buy as many tickets, there's still a huge, tremendous amount of interest in the team, and people's passions are on the line. So I think in a market like St. Louis in particular, you know, this is like a strange experience because, by and large, Cardinals fans have not had to go through this very often, at least not since Bill DeWitt bought the team and before the 96 season. As for other places, and with baseball, a lot of it, the system is that it enables owners of quite a few teams, unfortunately, to kind of basically sit it out competitively while they're also taking money from their partners, revenue sharing. And so that bothers me more than anything that the Dodgers are spending. The fact that you have owners that could actually be really take, for example, the Pittsburgh Pirates have an excellent starting rotation. Excellent. Yep. Mm-hmm. And yet they've done nothing to make that team better in the offseason. So if you're not going to get beyond your comfort level to spend and because to take advantage of this window you have with those great young starters and, you know, Skeens and all the rest. See, that's what's wrong with baseball. It isn't the Dodgers. You know what I'm saying? That's what's and you can apply this to other sports, but the other sports, you know, at least, you know, in football.
Well, the salary cap makes you accountable.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you don't hire the right people, well, that's your fault. And if you can't find a quarterback, that's your fault. So, yeah, I think the other sports kind of police themselves, or the system polices everybody.
No, I think you make a great point, and it's somewhat of a head-scratcher for baseball. And, you know, I look at this team as they take batting practice, and I know some people would feel like, well, they're not committed. They've scaled back. I think what they've done, from what I see a lot more people working with people. There's a lot more investment in development than would show. You know, if you hit spring training, you can kind of see it. Like, this is a little different than what we've been accustomed to. And there are multiple ways you can reinvest in your team without going out and overpaying for a free agent. And well, I'm of the belief that if that situation comes about, if they're competing down the stretch, don't think that they won't go out and get someone if that's going to get them over the hump, because you can't miss out on that opportunity. No matter what your plan is, you have to try. And I think we're going to still see that. And I think the effort that we're going to see from this team, because they're young guys who are getting an opportunity for the first time, they're going to give you everything they have. And so I'm not worried about that. I'm appreciative of the fact that I'm seeing the reinvestment of their money compared to some other cities who just put the money in their pocket.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. And of course, I'm not surprised to hear you say that, because you know what's up. Listen, I'm not popular with a certain segment of Cardinals fans, and I don't know what kind of percentage we're talking about. But I spent all of last season basically saying, listen, let me tell you that this is going on, that's going on. They don't have a full-time catching instructor. They don't have the technology. They don't have the facilities. It's kind of underfunded and understaffed. And I would bang the drum on that, because I would point out over and over again, one of the things that I've respected so much about Bill DeWitt is because he was ahead of the game with all of that stuff. And all of that stuff. And that's one of the reasons why they were such a huge winner for a long time. And I'm surprised that it lapsed. But I kept pounding the table, so to speak, saying, listen, they have got to fix the minor league system, the analytics department, player development, have everything these kids need to be major league ready to the max, as much as you can get them ready. And so when they finally did it, I was thrilled. I was happy. I think it's a huge, huge thing. And I don't think enough people understand what a big deal this is because they can't see it. See, you can see it. You can see the work being done. You can see all these new coaches and instructors, and you're like, well, gosh, they really did bring in a lot of people. But that's tough for fans. So I'm not blaming fans because they don't see what's happening other than what's on the major league field, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. And I think they'll see it with the results down the road. But
right,
this team will be better than maybe what some people think. You know, I'll remind people, you know, they did finish in second place last year. Now, obviously, second place is not where they wanted to finish as far as the standings were concerned. But it wasn't like it was a terrible season. We saw the development of certain players. We saw Mason Wynn. We saw Ryan Helsley really come to the forefront and some other people. And I really think they're going to be better. They have enough pitching right now. And now I say that on February 23rd.
Sure.
As we know, July 23rd, I may be saying to you, Bernie, we need some pitching because that's just how the business works. But I think overall, I like the direction. It's early, and some guys will have to play through this and make sure they justify their existence. But overall, I would just say to people, give it a shot and see what happens.
Well, there's a lot. Your point about, you know, the energy and the hungriness in camp is spot on. And that, listen, that applies to the older guys too. Contreras is learning a new position. He knows that people are skeptical of that. He's doing everything he can to be a decent, solid, good first baseman. He's got something to prove. Sonny Gray, he was good last year, but he knows he wasn't at his best. He knows that there's another level. He knows he can't allow home runs the way he did last year. He knows he's got to pitch better on the road. He's hungry. He's determined to prove you didn't see my best. I can't think of a guy anywhere in Jupiter, Florida right now that probably is more determined to prove that he still is the type of offensive player that can do a lot of damage. And then last year was an aberration, talking about Nolan Arenado. And then you have all these kids that are competing for playing time, and they also know they got a lot to prove. And I think that everybody down there collectively is really fired up about the challenge. Does this mean they're going to win 90 games? No. I don't know what they're going to win because it's like everything else. You mentioned the pitching, and let me throw this in real quick. If the bullpen is not good, well, everything's going to fall apart because the bullpen saved that team. That's why they won as many games as the Chicago Cubs last year. And it's why they won as many games as the 2006 Cardinals did in the regular season. But if the bullpen, if the levee breaks, then it's going to be a tough season. So that's one area of concern. But because we all know that certain hitters got to step it up, and we can say that a million times. But I also think maybe the bullpen holds the key to everything as long as some more offense is produced.
I couldn't agree with you more, man. It'll be an interesting year, and reason it'll be an interesting year because I am going to connect with you, and we will hang out, and I have a couple of new spots that we can go and chop it up.
I look forward to it very much. Wonderful being with you, even for a few minutes today. Thank you, Mike.
All right, he's Bernie Miklas. I'm Mike Claiborne. You can hear Bernie with the Gas House Gang every day on KMOX. We're going to take a break. St. Louis U was in action last night, and there's good news to report about the Billikens.
Isaiah, high post pass, top of the key, Avila. Turns, gives it to Jimerson. Hard sprint, turnaround three. Bang, got it. Jimerson.
He just got full right sprint underneath the basket and just made a full sprint to the head of the key. And here he gets him out.
Bob Ramsey and the Hall of Famer Earl Austin Jr. last night or yesterday afternoon as the Billikens took on Rhode Island. Let's go to the guest line and our coach of St. Louis University is Josh Schertz, and he's brought to you by Royal Banks of Missouri. Coach, good afternoon, good morning, or wherever you may be. But more importantly, congratulations on a big win for you last night.
Thanks, Clay. Appreciate it. It was a good win for us. Needed, you know, had a rough stretch there. You know, I dropped a couple in a row and had some chance to win them. Didn't quite get it done, and so to have that break, had 8 days where we didn't play a game, kind of reset, refocus, and thought. Had one of our better games of the season yesterday. Great crowd as well, which really helped. Had 8,000 in there, which was fantastic.
I want to ask you about pushing the reset button during the season. You guys are kind of chewed up with injuries already. Do you think that's something you'd probably like to build into your schedule a little bit more, where you'd have maybe a few more days off in season just to make sure you can keep your guys healthy and fresh?
Yeah, you know, I do. I thought, you know, those bye weeks are invaluable. We had one really early where we probably didn't need it. You know, after we won, you know, we were 3-0 and had a bye week going into VCU. Our second bye couldn't have come at a better time. As you said, you know, we've been beat up. We've been beat up since the beginning of the season. You know, we've been without really, you know, four of our guys. And, you know, that all happened by basically December 1st. So, you know, the guys that are playing have had to log a lot of minutes. And certainly I think as much as there's physical fatigue, I thought there was a mental fatigue. You know, as we got to the end of that stretch, we were able to give guys a couple days away. And then maybe the biggest benefit of the bye week was to have, you know, four straight days of practice. And you don't normally have that in the season. It was really good for our young guys. I thought our bench had a great week of practice. And then yesterday, you know, season high, 21 points. You know, we got three true freshmen that are playing for us off the bench. Those guys had a great week. And then we're able to translate that into the game. Amari McCautry, Dylan Warlick, Max Picard. Thought those guys were outstanding yesterday. By far, their best performances of the season in terms of, you know, a team win.
You've been at this for a while. You've coached in different places. But is it me or is it the home court advantage certainly being challenged? Because we're seeing teams going on the road, going into some tough places, and not only giving the home team all they can handle, but sometimes walking out with a victory. Where do you think that's all changed? Because home court isn't what it used to be with regard to reliability.
Yeah, and it has changed. You know, I think it is not easier on the road, but you're seeing more teams do it. I've always thought that, you know, whatever the sport, you know, good teams can win anywhere. You know, if you're good, you know, as you know, in terms of what you're doing, you know, good teams can win anywhere. And, you know, that I don't think has changed. But I do agree that you're seeing more teams, you know, have success away from home. Could be a variety of things. I think,